Last week, last few weeks, we have been looking at the what is the church and different aspects of characteristics that define us together as people of God. And last week, Simon was starting to bring the series to an end, looking at what we have looked at and having a special focus on us as people of purpose, people with a mission, commissioned and empowered by God to love and serve Him with our lives. We also heard from Judith and Keith on how they serve God in their daily lives. I remember particularly from Judith just that desire to be alongside people and listen and connect with those that she meets, particularly in Cornerstone. And Keith's many different seasons of service that have changed over time. And overruling quality for both of them, I felt, was that openness and availability to be in God's use. If you missed it, you can still watch the recording on Facebook as Matthew in the last minute stepped in to the challenge to make sure that it was live streamed out of his compassion so that no one misses out who might not be able to come in person but still wishes to follow online. And it was just great to see just those few examples of how in so many ways we do serve God as part of this church. And we all will have our different stories to share of the same. And we'll also be hearing from Joanne later on today. So we continue for the second week with this theme of people, us being a people of purpose, but expanding our focus a bit from our daily lives to also include how we can be part of a wider mission of God beyond St. James, in particular in supporting our mission partners, who we've had a number of. We've got mission partners in Bangkok, in Montenegro, in South Africa, Newcastle, here in Carlisle and beyond. And if you do have time at the end of the service, we were praying for all our mission partners in our 10 o'clock service, and there are some information around the screen of all our partners. If you do have time afterwards to go and have a look and pray for them further, then do feel free to do that. And as one example, we will hear in a moment a bit of a story and a vision of one of our new mission partners this year, Clive and Glenda McMinn, who set up a community church in Delft, in one of the townships in South Africa. Some of the men would have met Clive on Zoom earlier on a men's night, but for most of us, Better Way is new, so we thought we'll give a bit of a focus for them today as we look at our mission partners and how we are part of God's worldwide mission. So we want to hold these two aspects together, how we do mission locally and how we are part of the wider Church of God and in Carlisle and beyond. The story of Better Way, which we'll be watching in a moment, reminded me of this passage from Isaiah and from Luke, and that was part of the reason of choosing it for us to hear it today. Isaiah describes beautifully God's desire and intention to act in the world which is broken in so many ways. Remember the quote from last week that Simon shared with us, which we will have on the screen. It is not the Church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission that has a church in the world. It's not coming. Okay, something wrong with the technique, so I hope you heard that. It's not the Church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission that has a church in the world. I think that's most challenging, as we are his plan and his tool in the world. But it's also releasing and humbling. Mission is about who God is, not so much about us, what we can do or want to do, but discerning and joining in where God is active, relying on his guidance and his strength in where he is calling us, is shifting that focus on him. And what does this God of mission look like? Isaiah describes it like this: he preaches the good news to the poor. He binds up the brokenhearted. He brings freedom from oppression, comfort to those who mourn, rebuilds what is broken. Talks of a God who brings transformation and new life, who knows that the world is not as it's meant to be. And he comes to our rescue, to offer solution, to restore us, to walk with us. God who has compassion, who cares for our needs, who cares about injustice deeply, who is not content to see people suffer. In Luke, Jesus reads these words from Isaiah saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," saying that he is the one who has come to fulfill these words. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Jesus is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do God's will, and he's calling us to do the same. He's showing who God is, his concern for his world. And of course, the ultimate freedom that Jesus brings is the freedom from sin, our separation from God. And as we choose to put our faith in Jesus and his work on the cross for our salvation, to bring us our salvation, we find peace and new purpose for our lives. And he doesn't stop there. He then calls us to follow on his footsteps. He demonstrated through his words and through his actions that he had come to bring healing, justice, comfort, and change. Stand up for those who don't have voice. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost when he promised us his Holy Spirit to fill us with the power to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And he's giving us his great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. He has promised to be with us always to the very end of the age. We are not on our own. We go in the power of the God Spirit and journey together. We have each other. We have the Holy Spirit with us as we go. The spiritual God's gospel, the good news of the gospel, is both spiritual and practical. How we treat ourselves and each other contributes to the credibility of our witness to, as followers of Jesus. How our daily lives can reflect his character as we call unto him to lead us. And this, of course, will differ greatly for each one of us. There might be times in our lives which is full of action, but there's also the other times when we are just called to rest in his presence and perhaps just intercede and pray. We can't earn his acceptance. We can only receive his love for us and respond to others from that place of security that we have in him. And I think that makes our mission authentic and attractive, because we share from what we have first received from him, and out of that flows our love for others. For us, most of us, our daily mission is, of course, in our homes, on our doorstep, in our neighborhood, our workplaces. But some of us, God will call out to other nations, to other places. And we have that joy of partnering in this with each other. So those who are sent out, we can support in prayer, through our finances, taking an interest, keeping in touch, supporting in times of struggles. And in return, we receive encouragement and inspiration, challenge, and expanding our horizons of who God is and how he works so many different ways all around the world. We are seeking God's kingdom together, whether we are far or near. And in that sense, it's not an added extra, not something that is nice to support other people. I think it's a key to our growth as disciples, that we stay connected with God's work beyond our own patch. If you do have an opportunity ever to visit any of the mission partners near or far, I would strongly recommend that. There is, I visited Clive and Glenda with our family and also been to welfare centres in China with two of my children. And there is just something about seeing God in a different context. So you can be affirmed that God is the same everywhere, but also it kind of pushes us out of our comfort zones. We are having to rely on him on a different way, which again, I think we grow as we push the boat out a little bit. So we are going to watch an interview with Clive and Glenda from Better Way in Delft. It is just a few clips from a longer video, which you can also watch in full on their website. It looks back a little bit for the last 20 years of a history, how it all started, how God called them to this work, how he has guided and provided for them, and what they're looking what they're looking in with a vision for future ministry. And I would like us to watch this with that in mind that we've been looking in the last few weeks. Watch not purely for the information or prayer needs, although those are important, but also for inspiration, to keep intentionally in mind who is this God of mission and how does our reading reflect the work in Better Way. And I would like to pose two questions that you might just want to keep in mind as you watch. In what ways, I think we probably don't get those words on the screen either. I think something's gone wrong with my file. Apologies for that. In what ways do you see the God of mission at work in Better Way? And is this stirring something in you? Is God speaking to you about something, either locally or internationally, as you watch and reflect? So we're going to, hopefully the video will work.
When we were here nearly 20 years ago, it was very sandy. It was nothing like what it is today. It was very desolate, and it was when you literally drove, you just saw mounds of sand, and if you got out of your car, you were struck. It was like you're in a desert, and that's where the God-forsaken place is. It just was bleak. There was nothing bright about it at all.
Yeah, and I think the most the biggest evidence was that people looked lost. There were houses. A lot of the houses were on top of other houses. And so people were kind of starting to live on top of one another. And when we look back 20 years later, you can really see just the need for good homes in our country and in our city. And so homelessness is a very big thing. And so when we got here 20 years ago, there was obviously the space that was there for homes to be built. And 20 years later, I think we're almost reaching the point of overcrowding. But even so, people were lost. There was a real sense of desolation. I remember our first service that we had 20 years ago. We had 60 people come to that service, and it was incredible to see the hunger and the need in people.
And the very first service we did, the 13 people got saved.
Yes.
Basically what happened about 3 years ago, our building became too small. And so as a couple, we're not the kind of couple that want to build a big church. Hopefully that's going to get full. It was a necessity. And because we wanted to create a place of safety, God showed us that this is what's going to happen. And so we basically started with a small amount, like 5,000 rand in the bank, which we took out of the main account just to start. And God multiplied that. God told me that 1 year was a year of gathering and the next year was a year of building. And literally, it's been amazing to watch it. I still pinch myself when I'm in the building. I still pinch myself when I arrive, to realize what God has done.
I think in the gathering part was very evident in the amount of young people that walked into the old building. The old building was a house. When we first came to this side of Delft, we found this house that had been turned into a shop. And the house turned into a shop, and the shop was called Better Way Store. And so when we then moved into that shop, we decided to keep the name Better Way. And we became Better Way Community Church. And so we converted what was a little shop into a church. And then over a period of time, that building became too small. And so with God's help and people like friends of ours in the UK went along with us, shared the vision and invested in expanding that building. And so because our biggest congregation is the children and the youth, the building became evidently small. And so we wanted to create a better and bigger place for young people to feel safe and for young people to know that they can come to a place where they can be acknowledged.
I think our biggest thing of safety is that people can come here. If you're a part of the church, part of the family, you can come here anytime. There's always coffee, there's always a sandwich, because it's like your home. You know, if I come to my house, then I want to be able to go and put the kettle on. And so that's the first thing that we wanted to create, a place of safety that people can come, a place of quiet, because the homes in Delft are so small. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, and so with our homework club, I grew up in a very poor household, in an area very similar to Delft. And in our first couple of years in Delft, we walked into a home in Delft of one of the kids who was at school, and she was struggling. And what we found was that there was no table, there was no place for her to do her homework. And so God laid on our hearts to start a homework club. And with this in mind, we needed the space of a building to do that in. And so we got donations of tables, stationery, we started the homework club. And our first homework club, I think we had 50 odd kids, learners that came, and they get the support. And so today, 10 years later almost, is how long we've been doing the homework club. This year, 2020, we have about almost 65 young kids from grade 3 right up to grade 12, and they come and they get support, learning support. So you have the child that struggles with their learning, so we have people that we've invited to come and help from outside of Delft who come and they help those kids with learning.
I think our future plans are to see how we can actually make the people in the church stronger so that they can continue without us. I think that's the bottom line. I think, you know, I always say to the church, what would happen if the building wasn't here and we weren't here? That's my biggest concern, that if, you know, the church, Better Way, wasn't here, would people still serve Jesus? And so we want to have a support system that can help them, but not cause them to be dependent on us. I think that's the biggest thing that I would like to see, that people become dependent on God rather than dependent on myself and Linda and the leadership. I also would like to see at some stage how we can help people. There's a huge need for people that are on drugs, rehab, and I have this vision that I would like to have a hostel for males and a hostel for ladies, where people that have just lost everything, we could give them a room. Like a flatlet, a studio flat, but it would be managed by us, and it would give people a foot up into the community, and it would be near the church, maybe next door in a building, and it would be something where we can see and help people, because drugs are hugely easy accessible here, and so we need to be able to help people, not just to get off them, but to stay off them. I think our last thing that we would like to mention is that we really want to push family. You know, husband, wife, then children, and pushing that and motivating that. That's something that in this community doesn't exist, where people don't know how to sit and have a meal together. You know, they just don't have the order. And so for us as a church, that's something we really want to push and motivate, and it's something that we don't need a lot of resources for, we just need to do. And at the moment, we're working with several couples that want to get married, couples that have got saved in the church, that have been living together, and they want to be an honest family. And so for us, that's something amazing, because when the gospel comes in, it needs to be changed. Yeah. And so on behalf of Brenda and I and the Betterway Church, we want to say thank you very much.
Thank you for your really support, if you are supporting.
Yeah, and thank you for watching this and being part of our lives. And we look forward to working with you more and more.